Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to encourage you to use something that God has given us, sets us apart from the beasts. One of the things I think defines us as being human, a thing that we use a lot as children, but some adults, not as much. Now would be imagination. Remember when you were a kid and you would imagine you were a cowboy or an Indian or a soldier, and I'm a man. If you were a girl, you probably imagine different things. But remember what that was like, to put yourself in a different world than the physical one that you saw and touched every day. Now imagine a world where we all did what God said, where we all did what we were supposed to do. Imagine with me what that world would look like. I guess we could imagine, because it was that way for a while. We are told about the Garden of Eden. We are told about an idyllic paradise. So I'm going to read parts of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I just want to pause and meditate on that for a minute. Have you thought this week about that? That you were made in the very image and likeness of God. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be food. Also every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every creeping thing on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden towards the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first was Pishon, and the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And it goes on to describe the garden. And I believe in the literal written word of God. I believe that Eden was a real place. I believe that Adam was a real man. I believe in the word of God. And I believe that God created us for a paradise. And we sinned. What is sin? Sin is disobeying God, disobeying his law, disobeying what he told us to do. What did Adam and Eve do? There was one rule of all the trees. He said, "You may freely eat." In fact, instead of going from memory, I'm right there in the Bible. I might as well read that. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now God made man, and unlike anything else in all creation, he made man in his very own image. He gave him life, breathed breath into his nostrils, put him in an idyllic paradise. And then what does man do? he disobeys the one who made him. He had one rule. This is a clear description of what sin is, disobeying the law, not doing what God tells us to do. We learn later on in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. Guess we didn't learn it there, we learned it here. God says the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. The wages of sin is death. And that's what all sin boils down to. You know what God is telling you to do, you know what God wants you to do, but you're saying no. I want to do my own thing. I want to do what I want to do, not what you tell me to do. Now, there is unintentional sin. But if you know that God's telling you to do something and you do something else, that's sin. Now, going back to what we talked about in the beginning of this, can you imagine a different world? A world where we went back. Now, we've fallen out of the garden. And we're waiting on all things to be restored. Waiting for the end of days. But could you imagine if our world today changed drastically? If man, the colloquial man, the we, if we just did what God told us to do, could you imagine what a different world we would be in? Exodus 23. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. And you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Could you imagine just that couple of short things that God tells us to do? What if we lived in a world where people actually did that, where people didn't take bribes, where when they sought true justice, where they helped their fellow man, even their fellow man that hated them, if they saw them in need of help and they helped them, whether they liked them or not. There was true justice where people judged on righteous judgment, not on a bribe, not on getting something in return, where they didn't circulate a false report, where they didn't follow a crowd to do evil. Could you imagine if we just did what God told us to do and what that world would look like? Same chapter. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. When I first started observing the Sabbath day, the day of rest, I realized what a blessing it was. This goes back to Genesis 1 that we just read. It's in the verses between the ones that I read. God rested and set that day apart. And he wants us to rest and enjoy all that he has given us. It's good for us. It is recorded. The law was given for our good. Could you imagine if every 7 days people just rested and stopped worrying about making money, stopped worrying about tomorrow like Jesus says, just rested and read the word of God and spent time with their families and enjoyed all they had given instead of trying to accumulate more and more? Could you imagine a world like that? Imagine this world. Deuteronomy 16. You shall appoint judges and officers in your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Or how about this in Deuteronomy 19? One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. If a false witness arises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days, and the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and those who remain shall hear and fear, and thereafter they may not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Could you imagine a world where we didn't have these frivolous lawsuits, the false witnesses, people trying to take something from somebody else by fraud, that if somebody accused somebody else of something and it was a false accusation, then whatever they sought to have done to that person would be done unto them. Could you imagine a world like that? Could you imagine if our world followed that rule? Followed God's law? Or how about this, we'll read about what God says for kings. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, and possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book, from the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, then he may prolong his days in the kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. What if our rulers ruled like that in the fear of God? Could you imagine a world like that? How about what Jesus says? When Jesus is asked in the Gospels, what is the first commandment of all? He gives the first and second commandment. And where does he get those? Jesus is the Word. He gets those from what was already given as the commandments laid out very early in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Let's turn to that section. You'll find that in Leviticus 19. We'll start in verse 11. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Same chapter. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums or familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. If a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no injustice in judgment and measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, and honest ephod, and honest hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. We read a lot there. And it's all beautiful words given by God. Hopefully a lot of you are familiar with when Jesus said, and we get a more complete picture of it here when we go back to what he's actually quoting, his own word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. Wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God, I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. I've seen some translations of that last passage to say, you shall not stand idly by while somebody takes the life of your neighbor. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Could you imagine a world where we loved our neighbor as ourself, where we didn't harbor hate in our heart, where we forgave? Let us turn to the Gospel of Mark. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. These are the words of Jesus, by the way. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You'll notice some congruency here, obviously, because Jesus is the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. He is the Word that we just read, that is Jesus. He is the Word made flesh, the manifestation. The perfect personification of God on earth. Flipping a page or two over in the Gospel of Mark, the words of Jesus. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Again, imagine a world like that. Imagine where our first focus was on God. Where our first focus was on how we could serve God and serve our fellow man, and not on selfish gain. A world where everybody put God first and his fellow man on level ground with himself. And this came to me years ago while reading this. This doesn't mean treating yourself bad. God loves you. He loves everybody equally. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That implies that you must first love yourself. If you are called to love your neighbor as yourself, the more love you have for yourself and appreciate all that God has given you and made you, the more you will love your neighbor. Imagine a world like that, where our first focus and study in life was on God, and we realize that we are made in his image. And we love our neighbor as ourself. We loved ourself more and loved our neighbor more because we love God more and realize we are made in his image and all the beauty that that entails. Imagine a world like that. Now there's a perverse thing in what I would call pop culture Christianity, saying that Jesus made these rules not in effect or not apply or whatever. What I would just say for that is don't listen to me. Listen to the words of Jesus himself. You'll find this in the Gospel of Matthew. The words of Jesus. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, One jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Again, those are the words of Jesus. And I don't want to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now I am a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I believe what is written in Romans. I believe the entire Bible. I in no way believe that I will go to heaven by my righteous works. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's often misquoted and said that Jesus is the end of the law. It doesn't say that. It says Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. And I believe that. I believe every word in the Bible is true. I am righteous by the blood of Jesus. I don't observe the law and keep the law and do what God tells me to do to be made righteous. I am made righteous. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. And because I appreciate what Jesus did for me and what God tells me, I do what he says, not to get love, because I am loved. And I know that God is smarter than me. And if he tells me to do something, it's what's best for me. God is smarter than me. Again, what is sin? Sin is saying, I know what you're telling me to do, God, but I'm going to do my own thing. I don't keep the law to be made righteous. I am righteous by the blood of Jesus. Period. Full stop. End of sentence. I am grateful to Jesus and to God, and I trust them, and I do what they ask me to do. Again, what does Jesus himself say from his own mouth? Again, we'll go to the Gospel of Matthew. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It is written, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I don't want to hear in that day, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, when you read that passage, it's written to people who think that they're followers of Jesus, but they're practicing lawlessness, they're sinning. And we all sin, and we need a Savior. I don't have any illusions that I'll be justified by the law. I am justified by Jesus, and he tells me to do these things. He is the Word. He wrote those words. Just like the Garden of Eden, just like the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. Those rules are put in place for my good. I trust God. He knows. He made me. He formed me out of the dust of the ground and breathed breath into my nostrils. How could I not trust what he says to be true? And what he says to be right. And what he says to be wrong, to be wrong. I believe every word of God. Do you believe? Imagine a world where we all obeyed God and did what he wanted us to do. Where we loved God and loved our neighbor as ourselves, for we didn't covet. I guess a good thing to recite here would be the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself the carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down and serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Imagine just a world where people did less of the last one, coveting what other people had. What difference does that make to you? Don't measure your corn in somebody else's bushel. If somebody else has more, that doesn't mean that you have less. One of the great lies of culture today, that if you have as much as somebody else, you'll be happy. The root of true happiness is God. So why spend the majority of your time seeking after other things? Again, what does Jesus say? The greatest of all the commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what's going to make you happy. Not coveting your neighbor's things. Again, God knows. I trust him. I learned the hard way that God is smarter than me. Infinitely smart. The source of all truth and knowledge and strength. Far stronger than me. I believe it. I want to do what he says. You know, it is written many times that we will give an account at the end of days. What are you going to hear? Are you going to hear, depart from me? Or are you going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Imagine a world. Imagine a world where we all did what we were supposed to do. If you could leave this one and go into that world, would you want to be there where people did what God was telling them to do? And if the answer is yes, and you should be doing what God is telling you to do, and I should be doing what God is telling me to do, again, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess for their actions, for your actions, for the individual's actions. So you do what you're supposed to do. For a better world, and to fulfill what Jesus says is the first and second of the commandments. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. With that, thanks for listening to Simple Man Sermons, and have a blessed day.